from the Fan Morning Show. It's Baby Friday. We're listening to some music that, if you close your eyes, could be in Dunedin in the warm climate. Is it warm there yet? Yeah, it's pretty warm, right?
It's warm enough.
There was birds chirping. The sun rises on the horizon. And John Morosi picks up the phone to call us on the Fan Morning Show. MLB Network Insider, live from Dunedin. John, pleasure to have you this morning.
Good morning. 2 minutes past the hour. The temperature here in beautiful Pinellas County is 63 degrees Fahrenheit. So very, very fortunate to be here.
I'm quickly Googling 63.
That'd be 17 Celsius.
Yes. 17 Celsius. Thank you very much. 17 is, though, that's real nice. We'll take that here. It's been up and down. Actually, 2 days ago, it was 13 degrees. So I don't really know if we're trying to replicate Dunedin and get in the mood of what the Toronto Blue Jays are doing down south. But nonetheless, excited to talk to you from Dunedin. What's the pulse of spring training right now down south?
Well, I will be entering the Jays' new, I still call it the new clubhouse because I haven't had a chance to be at their new player development center yet. This is my first day on the scene, so I'll be stepping into that room here later on today. Very excited about that. This has actually been chosen as the site of the Grapefruit League Media Day.
Woohoo!
So all they're affirming that the Jays' Player Development Center here in Dunedin is now the jewel of the Grapefruit League and the envy of other teams in baseball, which I always love to talk about. So basically, all the GMs and managers of the Florida-based teams for spring training will be converging on Dunedin today. So it becomes a nice little showpiece for the Jays. Obviously, last spring we still weren't totally fully back to normal yet. And I think now it's really great that everybody can really enjoy and appreciate the work. Of course, they modernized the ballpark in spring training, and then the player development.
All right, we're going to reconnect with John Morosi because sounds like he's going in and out of civilization. He's under a wave, and then he emerges and underneath a wave. But nonetheless, he is live from Dunedin. What I was getting from that is that it seems like the Blue Jays are hosting the big media day session today.
Look at the Blue Jays, eh?
Not a big deal. We got a new Rogers Center
upgrades.
We're
early on here, and Morosi's already hanging out in Dunedin. Like, yeah. are the Blue Jays the talk of the MLB world?
They
Is that
might
why
be.
He's there?
Well, you
I
know
mean,
that.
I guess they are in some ways mm-hmm. with the entire league converging on Dunedin, but maybe this is more about league-wide networking rather than just specifically the Blue Jays.
Well,
at least for today.
Our guy, John Morosi's always got the pulse on the Jays,
yeah, oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's like partially Torontonian, I think. He's got some roots. Let's see if we can bring him in. John, sorry about that. You're a little bit underwater.
I'm back.
That
I'm
sounds
back.
Good.
I changed. There you go. I changed my device. I discarded the AirPods and went right back to the old audio connector. So feeling good now.
So we were just talking about, okay, all the general managers descending on Dunedin. So maybe it's not all Blue Jays all the time right now. But when you do think about the Blue Jays and the 2023 season, and I guess questions or interesting things to consider, I guess, when looking at this team and how they line up here to start spring training, what question needs to be answered? What is the biggest thing kind of hanging over the Blue Jays right now when you consider the prospects of success in 2023?
Jose Rios. For me, it's all about him. And I look at this pitching staff, and if you assume mostly that Manoah and Gausman will be roughly what they were a year ago, and Chris Bassitt, his calling card is his consistency. He's not someone that's going to dominate and win a Cy Young necessarily, but is a really consistent, well above average major league pitcher. And that means Berríos is sort of in the middle there. He is the guy that can take this from being an adequate rotation, in even a good one, to potentially a great one. He's the difference. And I think if he is even 80 or 90% of the player that they had signed to that extension, this team will have more than enough rotation. I think the bullpen is very solid. Obviously, you've got a lot of name brand guys back there that we've seen in the past that they added Swanson. So I think that right now, I'm not going to necessarily say that he deserves all the pressure, but I think it's his because I look at the rest of the club, a healthy Springer, the lineup with better balance. We talked a lot last year about how they needed more left-handed bats. they went out and got them. So for me, if Berríos is an all-star, this team has a very good chance to win the division.
Well, when you get eyes on Berríos, you send us those clips. All right, let's go to George Springer.
I will.
Let's go to George Springer because he had a great quote that I think we can all relate to. Feels good to feel good after the injury and some rehabilitation on that. What is a good ideal George Springer role this season? I know they've had some additions to the outfield and he might be shifting to right field. What do you want to have for George Springer to have a good productive season?
For me, I think it's very comforting for George to know what his role is going to be. There's been this back and forth the last several years. Where would his long-term home be? Was he still going to be a center fielder versus a right fielder? And now that he's playing right, I think it's a really natural spot for him. He'll be alongside Kevin Kiermaier and Dalton Varsho, with Varsho in left, Kiermaier in center. Kiermaier, one of the top center fielders in the game for the last 10 years. I just think it's a really good situation to George to succeed there. And I look at him too, and this is an underrated part of his game, I think, a bit. He can steal some bases, and especially now with the new rules coming into play and the bigger bases and the restrictions on number of times that pitchers can throw over, even in an injury-shortened season when he physically wasn't feeling his best, George stole 14 bases last year, which was the second most of his career. And that, I think, shows a couple things. Number one, he still has plenty of athleticism now in his age 33 season, and he's just such a smart baseball player that he knows when to go. And I think if he's feeling even better physically now, plus the new rules, plus just this freedom, I think when you're a right fielder, maybe it's not quite as taxing on your body as playing center. So I look for him to be overall a fresher version of George Springer. And that could mean even more stolen bases in front of what I think is going to be a very, very active and balanced Blue Jays lineup.
Probably a stretch to say that Dalton Varsho was like the domino or the first domino en route to spending hundreds of millions of dollars changing the way a ballpark looks. But I do find it interesting that there's a bit of a trend in Major League Baseball where you're kind of curating a ballpark maybe to fit the team or the needs or the structure of a team. What do you make of all that, and specifically what the Blue Jays have done with their ballpark or planning to do with their ballpark as it pertains to their lineup?
Oh, I love it. And first of all, I love that you're going to have unique dimensions. And certainly John Schneider spoke about that with reporters here in Dunedin yesterday about just the uniqueness of having a non-symmetrical outfield, as Shai Davidi's talked about as well. I think it's great. It gives the ballpark more character. And to your point, it opens up different possibilities to build your club around what the dimensions are. And I think Varsho is one of the more intriguing players on this roster. I'll be really curious to see if potentially, just because of that left-handed power element, if maybe they consider at certain times moving him up in the lineup, as opposed to, I think you could certainly argue that you should start with four right-handed bats, go Springer, Bichette, Vlad, and Alejandro Kirk. But I kind of like the idea of putting Varsho up a little bit higher. I'm a big believer in him, Justin. I think he's an excellent player. He's tough, hard-nosed, athletic, the rare guy that can catch and play center field. He's from the great town of Chile, Wisconsin, which has a population of under 300 people. So his hometown makes most Canadian small towns look like metropolises. That's how small Chile is. And so I love that about Dalton. Hardworking family. His dad's a wonderful person. I had a chance to talk to him over the years just in his role as a scout. And it's just they're a hardworking, all sports, baseball family from Wisconsin. And I think he's just going to fit right in with the character of this team. Dalton just loves the game, loves to play. And I think that's true of Kiermaier. It's true of Springer as well. So I think you're going to have three outfielders that just love to go get the ball, love to play. And I think they're all going to bring a really unique element to this team this season.
A different outfield architecturally and roster-wise for the Toronto Blue Jays this season. And John Schneider is coming in his first full year as a manager, starting from spring training onwards. What's the biggest challenge that he's facing this season?
You know, it's a great question, because I think that this team, when you consider how last season ended, there was, of course, a bit of second guessing about the bullpen usage in the second game of the series. I didn't really have an issue with it, to be honest with you. I think overall, he was doing the best that he could with what he had in front of him at the moment. And there were so many plays in that game that went awry. But I think it's now, for me, a matter of doing the most that you can with this core, knowing that this is not going to last forever. This is now, I think this is a year where when you think about the construction of the roster and where Vlad and Bo are, and certainly it was great that Bo got the three-year deal, but he's still not signed beyond what his free agent year was going to be originally. The clock is ticking on this team. They need to win and win big very soon for them to really hit this sweet spot of winning with Vlad and Bo as your homegrown superstar cornerstones. The number of chances that you've got to do this are not terribly numerous any longer. And I would say that when you look around, the Jays, I'd still put Toronto maybe a bit behind where Houston is in terms of the expectations to win a league title. But when you look at the Yankees and their imperfections, they just lost Montas for a period of time to start the season. And Nestor Cortes Jr. has some question marks there. Jays fans and the Jays personnel should not just say, hey, our goal is to win the division this year. That should happen. The Blue Jays should win the American League East this season. You look around, the Red Sox are down. The Yankees have some pitching questions right now, even some infield questions about who's going to start where exactly. There is every reason to believe that the Jays are the team to beat in this division this season. And so I think for John Schneider, it's coming into a year with that expectation. The bonus is that he's known Vlad and Bo since they were in the minor leagues. I think that's a really nice benefit. And I also think, let's not forget who they added to the coaching staff this offseason. Having Don Mattingly there is great. I mean, you've got someone that's managed in L.A., who's been a Yankee icon, who managed in Miami. He's got a lot of different experiences. Certainly someone that John has respected since he was a kid. And I think it's a really good influence and ear for John Schneider to have entering a year in which, let's be honest, he's supposed to finish ahead of the Yankees. He's supposed to finish ahead of the Red Sox. And that kind of pressure is maybe that definitively, as I'm stating it, maybe is a bit new for a first year full-time manager in John Schneider.
So you're down there at Dunedin with spring training, and they're starting to roll out the new rules for this year's MLB season, the bigger bases, the pitch clock, banning the shift, et cetera. What are you most excited for, and maybe what you're most hesitant for?
I'm all in, Ailish, on the changes. And
love
what I'll
it.
Say is, I think it's going to make for a much better a better viewing experience for all of us. I'm sure that initially, because it's very clear, the shift issue is fairly straightforward. Look, when the pitch is delivered, you cannot have three infielders on one side of the diamond, and everybody has to have their feet on the dirt. There you go. Like that's a fairly straightforward term. What I'm a little bit more curious to see is how the pitchers themselves adapt, especially those pitchers like Kenley Jansen, for example, with the Red Sox, or a Diego Castillo with the Mariners, who are deliberate relievers. And listen, we've all had months to prepare for this. Everybody, the broadcasters, we've had time to prepare for this. Okay, everybody, we all know what we're doing here. Okay, this is a different sport, a different rhythm to it. So it's up to the pitchers to find a way to adapt. And these guys are professionals; they're the best in the world. I know it's a bit of a change in routine, but we're human beings and we can adapt. And I think for me, it's going to be, what does it look like the first time we're in spring training and there's a shot clock violation to use the basketball term? Well, like, what is that? Do we hear a horn? I would assume no, but I think it's going to be interesting just to see the enforcement and how players react. That's the part that I think is probably going to take the most getting used to. The fielders and the shift part, like that's clear to me, but it's for me how the pitchers respond and when the clock starts and how, and also to be honest, the batters get ready. It's on them too. It's on everybody. And I want to make this point clearly about where this whole effort is going. There might be some complaining in different corners of the sport. Okay, we all have different opinions on things, but the commissioner and MLB seem to be speaking with a fairly authoritative voice on this, because it has been proven that this is what the fans want. There is plenty of data that suggests that fans would like the games to last under 3 hours, that 3.5-hour games on a Tuesday night when you've got two kids that go to school the next day in the morning is not what people want. We want games to end at a more reasonable time. And this is MLB saying our customers say they want X. We are giving them X, period. And so I think that while there may be some issues here and there, the commissioner is speaking with a pretty good amount of authority and high ground on this, because he's right. It's what the fans want. And honestly, I think the players, as time goes on, trust me, they have families too. They have lives outside of the game too. They're going to like getting potentially a half hour, 45 minutes of their lives back at the end of the night. But that's a good thing for them. So I think it will take some adjusting. But if the average time of game is in that 230 to 240 range, that's going to be a huge improvement for the sport today and the sport in the future as well.
The broadcasters that are on the air at 6 a.m. also appreciate the shorter.
Yes.
Yeah, we
exactly.
Could be on board with
trying
that one.
Amen. I love it.
John, before we say goodbye, I just want to say we're thinking of your Michigan community and everything that's happened there.
Yes.
Down south of the border for us, and hope you're staying well. And we're thinking of everyone that's been affected from the horrible shootings last week.
I appreciate the thoughts, Ailish and Justin. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, my dad's a proud Spartan grad, and my dear aunt is as well, and we've got a lot of connections over there. So it's been a tough week. I appreciate the thoughts there, and we just have to keep on working to find a better future with a lot of thoughts and a lot of action now, I think is what has to happen here. So, but I appreciate all your help there. Thank you so much.
Of course. Couldn't agree more. Stay well, John. Enjoy Dunedin. We'll chat with you soon.
Thanks so much. All the best. Thank you.
John Morosi, MLB Network Insider, live from Dunedin at the Blue Jays facilities, heading into today for the first time. Big day.
So where are you at on these new rule changes?
I couldn't agree more with the pitch clock needing to speed up some of these games.
Yes.
It's going to be very interesting to see how some pitchers
adjust. It's going to be, I feel like there are going to be issues. There are going to be like what the Matt Murray and the goalpost, like that was a thing that took on a life of its own. There are going to be some pitchers that are problems. There are going to be issues
like Kikuchi
all the time. It's like, it's going to come up over and over and over again because it's going to be such a change. I think for some, I think John brought up a really intelligent point, which is it's on the batters as well, because mm-hmm. some of them are quite deliberate as well. So I feel like the pitch clock, there's going to be some growing pains, but the shift.
I love that. Yes.
I love eliminating the shift.
Of course.
There is nothing more frustrating than a ball you think is hit in the right spot and the camera pans
there.
And some guy is just hanging out in the shallow right, right field, collecting the ball, reeling it in, inning over, nothing to see, even though that batter put the ball in play the way they want it to. I feel like that's one of the more annoying things about baseball. And if they can't eliminate that, I'm all for it.
Bigger bases doesn't really do much for me other than, okay, we're going to get more stolen bases.
Apparently, the bigger thing is just cutting down on injury because the close plays at first base or whatever, there's more distance
three inches,
it makes a difference. It makes a difference in baseball for sure. And hopefully we can cut down on injuries because it seems like, you know, runners slamming their foot down near ankles that are dug into the ground. Yeah, it doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen. And if you can eliminate a few of those injuries, that's a good thing.
So he was mentioning how the AL East could be, or should be, what the Blue Jays win regardless of what their other aspirations are. I did think it was quite funny that Frankie Montas shows up to day one of Yankees spring training and needs shoulder surgery.
I missed that.
Yeah, this was late last night, I believe.
That's good news for the Blue Jays.
Or yesterday afternoon. Right-hander Frankie Montas, the biggest acquisition for the Yankees at the trade deadline last year, was expected to be a big part of the rotation, will undergo shoulder surgery on Tuesday that could make him miss the entire season.
What was Frankie doing all winter?
Aaron Boone says.
Did Frankie get paid? Because he was midseason. Did he have to sign a contract?
Frankie's got some cash, I'll tell you that.
Frankie definitely has some cash.
But what were you doing earlier?
I guess if it takes the whole year, maybe he was trying to rehab it. Like, if it's that serious, you try to get to the point where you can fix it without intervention. But I guess ultimately that's what they needed. It is funny, first day though. Like, couldn't you have made that decision a week ago and avoided, like, hey guys, I can't like shake your hand because my shoulder might pop out. But
speaking of first day, Jacob DeGrom, first day of spring training, misses it due to soreness.
That's worse.
This is bad.
Because he just
Mets
got paid.
Mets fans are trolling because they're like, oh, wow, welcome. Welcome to our world.
Uh-huh. He didn't just get paid. He got paid.
Yep. 5-year, $185 million contract.
But I'm a little sore.
Day one.
That's tough.
I have soreness.
That's tough.
I think there's such a buzz. Like, you just see the social media team for the Blue Jays pumping out the content. And the guys are smiling ear to ear. Vladdy's painted grin on his face.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting.
It's nice to see. I don't know if there were concerns. Like, what is this team dynamic going to be like when you take away two of the quote-unquote fun guys? Not that I expected things to be, like, sour to start spring training. But it's good
there should be a bitter taste in your mouth. But
it feels good that everyone's seems to be in a nice spot right now.
The
and
way
there's
the
excitement
season,
and enthusiasm for this season. And there should be.
Yeah, the way the season ended last year can only either push you to be way more motivated this offseason, which I think we're going to see soon when everyone's reporting and we're seeing Vladdy bombs to the moon, hitting balloons from the sky. What's going on with the sky?
I don't even know. I've seen all these reports, but I don't even want to like wade into those discussions because I'm kind of scared.
UFO Central. We just get Vladdy to be crushing.
We don't need this.
We don't.
We've gone through enough recently, haven't we?
We don't need this.
We don't need UFOs right now.
But anyway, he could hit a couple balloons. So we'll see.
Vladdy could help things out.
We'll see.
Help
Vladdy.
Out the task force on aliens.
Eric from Burlington says, "Turn the pitch clock off for the playoffs. Let the boys play." Wouldn't that be interesting? A second set of rules.
I don't mind that because part of
that'd
the
be
beauty
a tough adjustment, though. You play 182 games of pitch clock, and then you're like free for all.
But it's like here's an extra base for because you violated the pitch clock in Game 7 of the world. Like,
and that's and part. But you know what? You got to dial in, Justin.
You got to get used to it, and you have 162 games to get used to it. But part of postseason baseball, which is part like a big part of the theater, is multiple camera angles, zoom in on the pitcher, zoom in on the batter, manager, fans, back to the
so
pitcher.
Suspenseful.
Like it is part of the beauty of it, part of the intrigue, the entertainment is ratcheted up a notch when you have a little time between big pitches, time between meaningless pitches, though, that we can cut down on. But again, you can't have more, or you can't have different rules at least from game inside the game. But I'm okay with eliminating in the playoffs. That's not going to happen, but I'd be okay with it.
Here's another great text in something I hadn't considered. But if the games are shorter, it's less time for loony dogs.
It's true. So take the under on the totals.
So every Tuesday, though, no pitch clocks.
that's the one concession we can make.
Yeah, how about we agree on that? Tuesdays, no pitch clock. It gets you prepped for postseason baseball with no pitch clock. So you just get like once in a while, you have to dial it back to your olden days. And it allows for the fans to get more loony dogs.
I will say, though, is time really the issue?
It is part of the issue, Justin.
I feel like stomach capacity is the bigger issue.
But
like,
you have
ample time.
I mean, you could get there when gates open and start crushing the dogs. It doesn't have to happen in the first inning. It's about pace. And this year, I'm going to be training because
we're
breaking
records.
Are you?
You're going
back to
the well here?
We are breaking records. One thing I haven't
seen.
You're
not calling it like one successful season and moving on to something else?
I'm not a quitter. I'm not throwing in the towel.
Okay.
This is my off-season goal. I've been training.
You have been training.
You should see me at the Super Bowl party. Was consuming.
Oh, you're training that way. I thought it was like a balance thing. It's more of a
eating thing. I'm training to be able to consume more loony dogs than ever before.
Chestnut level training.
I do have a bone to pick with the reporters that cover the Toronto Blue Jays and for the architectural designers.
Okay.
No insight has been provided to where the stations will be placed for said loony dog.
Oh, you're trying to buy tickets? You want to know where?
Well, I'm just trying to make sure that they put that thought process in when they redesigned a $1 billion stadium, that there needs to be clear pathways to and from the seats to the loony dog stations every Tuesday. I'm just saying. I don't think it went over their heads, but if it did, I'm going to raise the alarm.
Some
here.
Some serious oversight not involving you on this matter, I think.
My dad is an architect.
Oh.
And maybe it runs in the family a bit where I can just allow for one skill, which is direct pathways. Yeah. I could use a protractor.
Yeah.
And I could help map out the proper radius that you need for lines as well. Line management's huge.
It's like fire routes, but hot dog routes.
You're this is a serious matter.
Yeah.
So the next next update for the Blue Jays, Rogers Center upgrades need to include said stations for Looney Dogs, and opening day is a Tuesday. Let me just tell you that right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take a break because it's the Wake and Rake on the other side. Send in your picks at 590-590. There are no Toronto sports tonight. We're going to tee up the Genesis Invitational. Also, biggest news in Toronto sports acquisition. A Dartmouth Big Green has joined the Toronto Argos.
And not just any Dartmouth Big Green. A friend of yours?
That's right. I'll give you all the info on the other side of the break. And Justin's wearing his Dartmouth sweater today, so the vibes are just extremely high on Baby Friday.
My guy, too.
All right, that's next.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
All right, it's Baby Friday. The world-renowned Wake and Rake is back-to-back hits for you. Not a big deal. What are we, 8 for 9 this week, Justin?
We're 8 for 9 with 2 Wake and Rakes in the bag already. Suddenly, white hot.
We can't jinx it now. It's Baby Friday. We have to bring the vibes. This is our day of the week. It's our favorite day of the week, really.
It really is. We've decided.
There's something special about a Baby Friday.
Something about the Baby Friday. It's good.
The juices are flowing.
Be better than the actual Friday.
I think it might be. All right, so we have all that to tee up. But before break, I told you about the biggest acquisition in Toronto sports history, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine, a former classmate of mine, a Dartmouth football legend. Not many of those. My buddy Flo.
Yeah.
Has signed with the Toronto Argonauts.
Okay.
Falarin Ormalade is his real name, but we go by Flo. Okay. He just signed on Valentine's Day to be the highest paid defensive end of the CFL. He's making bank, $240,000.
Rich friends.
He's rich now. He is a Grey Cup winner with the Calgary Stampeders, where he played the last couple of years. He went to LA Rams camp as a free agent at one point. Now he's a Toronto Argonaut. He is an absolute unit. This guy is going to run through opposing teams. And now he's in our city and he is going to be a friend of the show. We got to get him on, Daniele, because Flo is making headlines
here.
So
you just know of Flo? Or
no,
like,
I know Flo.
Were you buds?
Flo and I are buds.
Okay.
He was a Big Green, same class as me, class of 2016. We're in the same dorm.
All right.
We had buddies. We had class together. I remember.
Let's get Flo on the show.
We were in English class together. Remember that? I think we took Rocks for Jocks as well together, which
makes sense.
Didn't attend much, but we were typically, you know, we crossed paths here and there in that class when we did attend. But no, I know Flo.
You're part of the same, like, fraternity, right? Like, you understand each other because you're...
He was in a fraternity.
Student athletes at Dartmouth. It's like,
GDX.
Yeah, this is an important, you know,
this is a big deal for
this
me.
This is an academic, is what I'm trying to say.
He
institution.
Was?
But, we're athletes.
Ivy League Defensive Player of the Year as a rookie. Finalist
wow.
for the Buck Buchanan Award for the best defensive player in the NCAA Division I football. Ever heard of it?
No joke.
He recorded 83 tackles, including 14 and a half tackles for loss, 9 sacks, 5 forced fumbles, and 3 pass breakups as a senior. He's a big deal, guys. So,
what are the
proud to have him in our community?
Do we have any odds for the Grey Cup?
Honestly, let's get that because Flo could be a sleeper, not even a sleeper pick. Let's get him for like Defensive Player of the Year. Where do we get Grey Cup odds? Find that.
I will say, like,
anyway,
it finally.
Go Big Green.
Because the Argos generally do well in free agency. Like they can throw it around a little bit. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. Recently it did. Maybe it will again.
2-year contract as well. So he's locked in for a couple big playoff rushes.
Okay,
here.
We're teeing up the CFL season at some point with your bud.
We are. There's no doubt about
Flo.
It. We already chatted.
Okay, good.
He's pumped to be here.
Looking forward to it.
Get him on the show. That's my buddy Flo. Still in my rhyme time here. Okay, so PGA, big week for golf. We're going to actually next week, we're going to do some we should tell the listeners so then they watch, right?
Sure.
We're going to watch the first two episodes.
If I can get a Netflix password.
Oh, here we go again.
Yeah. No, I will. I'll have to pay for it. Can I expense this? I'll have to pay for it. We're going to watch two episodes.
A Full Swing this weekend.
And we're going to talk about it on Tuesday. We
so
want to give people fair
time.
Warning. I don't know if it'll be like, listen, it's not like full spoilers. Like, that's not really how this is going to work. Although I heard someone talking about it on my way home yesterday. I was like, I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
Because, of course, I want to watch it for myself. But we're giving people a lot of time. All the episodes are out, right? So we'll go two at a time, mm-hmm. and we'll kind of spread it out, and we'll see where it takes us.
They're about 45-minute long episodes. There's no Toronto sports today or Friday or Monday, which is family day. So sit there with your family and watch Full Swing.
We will be here family day, though.
And we will be working family day because you are our family, the text line.
Exactly.
I could not go a working day without my text line family. So
our families will wait. Our real families will wait. Because we have our family to take care of here on the Fan Morning Show, 6 to 9 Monday morning.
So Tuesday, we'll go through a couple episodes of Full Swing. So if you want to prep for that, watch it this weekend. But we do have the Genesis Invitational teeing off today. 3:04 tee time is your big group. Rory, Tiger, Justin Thomas.
It's pretty good.
It's a big trio right there.
I'll be honest. I didn't watch much of the Waste Management Open. I usually love it.
There's a lot of things going on.
A lot of things going on. Didn't really
fit Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl. Yeah. I mean, that's a big thing. But watching it in the lead up to the Super Bowl was the most I watched of it. And of course, Nick Taylor was a big part of that, which was great. But primetime golf is nice. Primetime golf works for me. And the tournament this weekend is in Los Angeles. We got a primetime here with Tiger, Rory, and JT, as you mentioned. You can get on the couch at 3 p.m. on a baby
worry.
Friday.
I'm on the couch.
And kind of roll that through until about, 9 p.m.? Like, it's pretty good.
No sports? No Leafs? Nothing?
It's wide open for a little primetime golf, which is always nice. Of course, that ends soon because they're going to be heading over to the East Coast momentarily. Mm-hmm. But for now, at least they remain on the West Coast. And you get some primetime golf, which is, as I mentioned, pretty fun.
All right, so our outright winner odds, John Rahm, +750. Rory right behind him, +850. Scottie Scheffler, of course, +1,000. Tiger Woods, you got to scroll really far down the list here, +11,000.
Ooh.
So you're saying there's a chance.
110-1 then for Tiger. In the same group, our buddy Nick Taylor, 100-1. If you want to jump on the
friend of the show, we
Nick
have
Taylor
to pick
bandwagon.
Him.
Maybe we throw a couple shekels down on Nick Taylor because he was kind enough to join us on the show. But if I'm circling one guy this weekend, it's the LA vibe. It's the LA guy. It's Colin Morikawa, who's had a good start to the season, 2 top 10s. He's approaching the top 10 in the FedEx Cup point standings. But Morikawa on home soil, a guy who understands how the grass is grown out there in LA, maybe Colin Morikawa at 20-1 is a decent play.
How about him to be leading after the first round, +3,300?
Tell you what, I'll split the bet.
I like
a
that.
A little bit of Morikawa tournament, a little first round, and I'm going to add a little Nick Taylor. So my guys this weekend, Morikawa, Nick Taylor.
This summer we had quite a few golf sharps in the text line. I don't know where they are now, but it's time to pull out the cell phones.
Yeah, I mean,
because I know you know your golf listeners.
I like the specialists, right? I think we're calling on specialists. We have a tennis specialist. Neil knows his role here.
Once
he's
again,
coming
Neil
every
hit
day.
Last night again.
Neil continues to make money for this show and this community. We're looking for specialists. We're looking for people who might know what's going on in the golf world.
This is your moment.
More of a lottery, I think, in the golf world than anything. But if you got picks, send them this way.
We're looking to have another Neil in Newfoundland, is what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe there's a CFL Neil.
Well, Mike in Assiniboia is probably the biggest CFL fan there is. He texts in every day about the CFL, and he's already fired up about my buddy Flo.
Good.
So, Mike, you got picks? Send it in. 590-590. All right. So that's your tee off, 3:04 to see Tiger at his tournament that he basically what he sponsors or co-sponsors.
I think his foundation.
His foundation,
runs it,
yeah. Okay. Big weekend for golf. Okay, so we have a clip from Rory yesterday in media. We're going to tie it in with the NBA All-Star.
Okay.
Advocating for the PGA to be more like the NBA.
the PGA Tour needs to be built around the best players, because that's what will maximize the value of the product. The way I've tried to describe it is, if you look at like the NBA's growth trajectory over the last 20 years, they've built that league around their best players and their stars, not around the 12th guy on the team. But because they've built that league up around the stars, the 12th guy in the team does way better than he used to. So that's sort of the way I've been trying to tell it. Like, does it mean that the tour is going to get more competitive? Yes. Does it mean that, you know, instead of the way that you even look at the new look at the playoffs, like 125 used to make the playoffs, now it's 70. You know, it's just becoming a more competitive product. And I think, honestly, that's a good thing.
I got to be honest here. He's kind of describing LIV Golf, is he not?
I was just about to say,
like
this sounds familiar.
Like a small group of elite golfers that are playing for all the money? Just like an enhanced men's league? That's LIV Golf. I don't like that. I want to see, you know, Nick Taylor.
I was going to say, the beauty of this sometimes
battling
is
out with
Nick
John
Taylor
Rahm.
In the final pairing on Sunday at the Waste Management.
Now, I will say, Nick Taylor has broken into the top 75 in the world rankings since and because of that result. But you got to leave room for that result. You got to leave room for those players. And I guess there are. And I guess that's fine if you want to make the FedEx Cup a little bit more of a, you know, a tighter group of just the best golfers in the world. I guess that's fine. But like, what does it matter? The cream rises in golf. The best golfer of that weekend wins that tournament every time. That's how golf is set up.
I thought it was just very interesting.
Like, we can build these superstars up more. I get that. And that's something the NHL is facing all the time. How do you market your superstars? Yeah, market the hell out of Rory McIlroy. Let's see it. And they're trying to do that with Netflix and so on and so forth. But are we trimming the fat? Are we eliminating, you know, are we making fields smaller for events like this one at the Genesis?
Well, actually, no, this one's been increased to 136 players. So maybe he was asked, like, I don't know the beginning of this clip, about like this being a massive field this weekend. Traditionally, it's like 120. It's been increased. And maybe that's where he was going with this conversation.
And I am seeing a 2,500 to 1 on the guy at the very bottom of the odds list. Like,
hey,
put a dollar down.
How much would $5 pay?
$5 on...
Who is that guy, by the way?
$5 on Jack... There are a couple.
Give me one of them.
$5 on Jack Wall. Sorry, just signing in here. Just signing in. That would yield you... I mean, we probably could have done the math faster.
I don't know how to do that.
$12,500. Just $5. Jack Wall to win the Genesis Invitational.
Man, I'm the biggest Jack Wall fan there is.
$500.
Where's my buddy Jack Wall from?
Maybe there's a point there that Rory's trying to make, but I just don't think it matters that much. Like, let Jack Wall play. Sure,
Jack Wall, Texas Tech Red Raiders. That's all I can find about him on the internet. Is he still in college? He's a senior? Come on, buddy.
Maybe he's got a chance.
Good for him.
I think it is pretty, like, golf is, I mean, it is a lottery in a lot of ways, but Nick Taylor just could have won a golf tournament, a highly competitive golf tournament, a premium golf tournament on the PGA Tour. He's 101 right now. Like, if you look at the Super Bowl odds.
There's no team that's outrageous.
There might be a couple 150 to ones. But, like, Nick Taylor can win this tournament this weekend. The Houston Texans don't have a chance in hell.
They're plus
to win the Super Bowl this year.
The Texans.
So 120 to 1. And Nick Taylor's 100 to 1 this weekend. I don't know.
I'd rather put money on Nick Taylor, friend of the show,
than
the Houston Texans. But, I mean, this is a whole season of the Houston Texans. This is one weekend of Nick Taylor.
And anything can happen on these weekends, I guess, unless you're in Rory's world where he doesn't want anything to happen. He wants only John Rahm and him and JT and the select few to win every tournament. Golf's fine how it is.
We got a pick in the text line for golf. Tony Finau to win the Genesis, runner-up in two of the last five tournaments, tied for 14 at Waste Management last week, trending up.
Okay, let's circle that one.
Right.
I don't know if my money's going on it yet, because Tony's got, like, let's see how... Oh, no, Tony's not the texter? Tony the texter?
Tony is
Tony
the player. Tony is the golfer.
Who sent the text is what I'm asking.
They didn't sign their name.
Okay. Well,
they don't want to be a part of our show.
In order to become a specialist, we need names and we need results. We need to see what Tony Finau does this weekend.
Okay. Why don't we run through the anchor and our picks, and then we can talk about Gio and 32 Thoughts to close out.
Let's do it. Okay. I'll make it pretty simple. I like the Boston Bruins tonight in Nashville. The Boston Bruins lead the NHL by, I think, either 6 or 8. They got 34 regulation wins. So I like them in regulation. They are the league leader in regulation wins, and they are 90 goals better than the Nashville Predators if you look at the goal differential on the season. So this is a team that does regulation wins better than anyone, and they do hockey 90 goals better than the Nashville Predators this year at nearly plus money. It's minus 105 in regulation. I'll take the Bruins over the Predators in Nashville.
Okay. Only three NBA games tonight, of course, because the All-Star weekend's just around the corner. So I'm going to go NHL as well. So if you're doing Bruins in regulation, I like the Hurricanes on the puck line against the Canadiens. Hurricanes at home, Canadiens just floundering.
Ooh, minus 165.
I'm seeing it minus 152, which okay.
That's definitely
comfortable
better.
Playing.
That's definitely better.
So I'm going to put that in there for us. And then let's go through our... Wait, was yours in regulation?
Bruins regulation. The Canadiens have... I mean, they're an over team recently, but times they've been outscored... three of their last six games, they've been outscored by two or more, but they've suffered losses to the Oilers and Senators in the last little bit here, week. 6-2 to the Oilers, 5-0 to the Senators.
Yes.
They're a team that can get blown out by superior teams, even lesser, not necessarily lesser teams, but average teams like the Ottawa Senators. Carolina is a pretty well-oiled machine. I like your pick.
Habs have won three in a row, so it's time that they fall off. Morning, guys. Here's a quick one.
Yeah, I read that wrong. They beat the Oilers by that amount. I apologize.
Okay.
You're looking to buck trends then.
I am.
All right.
Morning, guys. Here's a quick one. Erik Karlsson over assists. How can you not? He's had at least one in five out of the last seven games. Should be a lock against Vegas. That's Cody and St. Catharines.
The presumptive Norris winner. Erik from Burlington. Two parlays for the week. Let's go. Thank you, Erik from Burlington. Mm-hmm. Just wait until I drop some beauties for the baseball
here we
season.
Go.
Auditioning for specialist. He misses it so much. Tonight, he'll pick the under 6.5 Jets and Blue Jackets. Jets love to go under. Yes, they do. And Columbus, he doesn't see as the ones being able to open up
I
the
like
Winnipeg
that.
Jets.
I don't think we've bet an under ever in the show.
Yeah, they're not that fun.
Hey, Ailish, it's Nick from Milton. Oh, just me. My wake and rake pick for today is a Line A anytime point against the Jets. We all know how great Line A is playing against his former team. I love the show. You guys make mornings fun.
God, betting on Patrick Line A right now. I mean, I get the motivational element, but... What do we complain about with Patrick Kane? We see a lot of that in Line A. Like, is he just cashing a check right now? It kind of seems like
he is. He's wearing cool fits and walking in the arena.
He is wearing cool fits. This is Neil, our guy, our tennis specialist. He's got Sissy Pass, minus 2.5 games. He got the win with Halas on the spread. He likes Sissy Pass over Yannick Sinner. Sissy Pass playing the top of his game right now, 16-1 in his last 17. Of course, lost to Djokovic in the Aussie Open final.
Already been bet. Tell you that for free. All right. This is our squad. Happy Baby Friday for today's anchor. I'll take the Minnesota Timberwolves minus 3.5. Juliana will take the Suns minus 1.5. They just love the basketball bets in that household. Phoenix Suns minus 1.5 over the Clippers. And for the alt parlay, Robert Lewandowski to score an anytime goal at plus 105.
Did Holland score yesterday?
I don't know. I forgot to bet it as well.
So I'll have to check in on that. I know Man City got a good result, though, over Arsenal in that big game. Here's Chris from London. He likes Sahith Theegala at the Genesis. Four top 10s already this season. Taylor Montgomery as well. He's high up on the FedEx Cup standings. 10 cuts in 11 events this season for Taylor Montgomery. So a couple picks there for the Jenny.
Chris says he's a plus 2 handicap. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Flex.
I omitted that.
Good morning. Nice wake and rake hit last night. I like Seattle in regulation over the Flyers. That's Corey in Port Hope.
Apparently, we forgot to say the Dylan Brooks under yesterday.
I know. I apologize, Gary.
To no surprise, it does hit again. He likes Vucevic, one of the guys who tried out for Hall of Fame status as a double-double tonight.
We could put him back in. DeLon Wright, one steal, 7 out of 7. Guy's a thief. Okay. That's a name we haven't had ever in the text line. That's kind of fun.
DeLon Wright?
Okay.
Shout out former Raptor.
Last one.
Max Homa, top 10, plus 225. He won in 2021. One of the hottest players in the game. He definitely is. And it's Morikawa's Cal teammate. That's from Big Mac. Big Mac getting back in the text line. Max Homa has had a wonderful start to the season. Of course, he's got a victory. I think he's second in the FedEx Cup standings. I think he's hanging out around like 30-1 as well. So not a bad look if you're in on Max Homa. one of the guys we talked about is if you bet him all the time,
you'll get one
profit.
Right.
You profit. So
Holland did score, by the way. Got that texted in.
Scores every game.
And Don from the Hammer says Ovechkin to score tonight. His dad just passed away. I did think about maybe something of that sort, but I'm not sure if he's playing for sure. But if he is, maybe there's something a tribute to his late dad there.
I could definitely see Ovi coming through there.
Okay, so our current Wake and Rake is Hurricanes on the puck line and the Bruins in regulation. We have an under, a line 8 point, CC Pass, Phoenix, Timberwolves, Seattle, Vucevic, DeLon Wright, and I think that's kind of the rundown for today. We're red hot, Justin. I'll pass the ball to you to pick today.
You're passing it to me?
We've gone back and forth this week. It's been good.
What are Neil's stats recently?
He never loses.
Want to go CC Pass?
Let's do it.
Let's put CC Pass in there.
Okay.
16 of his last 17, he's won. He's got Yannick Sinner today at ATP Rotterdam.
It starts at 1:30, by the way, everybody.
It starts at 1:30. It could blow it up early, or you could be setting the table nicely for yourself if CC Pass gets the job done. Let's trust Neil today.
Okay, so CC Pass on the game spread, -2.5 over Sinner. Bruins in regulation over the Predators and the Hurricanes -1.5 on the puck line against the Canadiens. That's your little risky one, but you got to risk it.
To get the biscuit.
Get the biscuit. There you go.
Do we have time for
Gio? We don't have time for Gio.
Okay.
We'll have to punt Gio.
You mean the Coles notes?
To tomorrow.
We'll just talk about it tomorrow.
Let's talk about it tomorrow. Our 32 Thoughts podcast had a nice sit down with Gio. It was released yesterday. We teed it up with our buddy Jeff Merrick. Take a listen for that one. It's really nice. I mean, he's a guy that's very well respected and is a legend in the NHL. And they got to sit down with him and got some good insight. But you know what? We're not going to tease it other than that. Go listen.
Saw yesterday he's closing in on the record for shot blocking.
Yes, I forgot to bring that up today. I'm glad you reminded
me. That's a longevity thing.
I have the tweet. Apparently Gio is 8 block shots away from setting the all-time NHL career record.
I'm assuming he didn't get 8 block shots last night because I don't know if there were 8 Corsis total
were
for
there
Chicago
8 shots?
Last night. Yes, there was, but you get my point. It wasn't exactly a night where shot blocks were necessary.
All right, so no Toronto sports tonight. We're trying to go 3 in a row on the Wake and Rake. That was your beautiful baby Friday. We'll be back tomorrow morning without Charles Davis. It's the first of a long summer without Charles Davis at 7 a.m. I'm going to try my best to be prepared tomorrow morning.
Big spot for whoever is going to slide into that 7 a.m.
is our 7 a.m. guest tomorrow. You better bring it, okay? Because it's a big void that we're filling. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everybody. Happy Baby Friday.